I'm speaking today with Jeff Downing, who is a candidate for Houston City Council District A. Jeff, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
First, I want to say thank you for taking the time to come and talk to me. I am running for District A because it's my home district. I'm not just a native Houstonian, I'm a native of District A. I was born and raised in District A, went from elementary school through high school in District A. I graduated from college, moved back to District A. My fiance and I just bought a home in District A and plan to start and raise a family in District A. My family, parents, sister, aunts, cousins, they all live in District A. So it's my home. It's more than just running for an office. It's protecting my neighborhood, protecting our communities. It's something I feel very passionate about because everybody I care about is in District A. My family is here. And so it's more than just a plaque on the wall or a seat in council chambers. It's our streets, it's our neighborhood, and that's our community. And I want to make sure that our home is protected. I want to make sure that our homes are taken care of, that our neighborhoods thrive and are reborn and regrow from, we're suffering some hard times in District A in certain areas, so I want to make sure we get that taken care of.
Okay. Now, you have previously worked in the Harris County District Attorney's Office, correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and how you think that might be good preparation for being a city council member.
Well, being an attorney in general helps you, at least in some regard, because part of city council is working on ordinances and drafting ordinances, which are the laws of the city. So I'm not saying that a non-lawyer couldn't do it, but it helps. But being a prosecutor, you become keenly aware of criminal problems in certain areas. I can remember reading offense reports or looking at cases that would come in, and I'd see street names in my area, and one in particular, Antoine, would come up on a regular basis. And not just for one particular crime, you'd see prostitution, you'd see drugs, dealing and selling and buying. You'd see prostitution and guns and all sorts of things up and down Antoine. And also on Long Point and other different parts of the district. And it made me keenly aware of what the criminal elements and criminal problems were in my area. I made an effort to make sure I knew that. And it helped me to become aware of police procedure, what the police can and cannot do, what the police are doing, what the police are not doing, and what they could be doing better. So I think that as a prosecutor with the DA's office has helped me become more aware of what I can do for District A.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
What can city council do to help deal with crime better in Houston, in your district? What can city council do?
Well, we all know that the city of Houston is facing a huge budget shortfall. And the new budget, we have what's the equivalent of 150 less officers on the street because of budget cutbacks with overtime cutbacks and everything in the Houston Police Department. And in the foreseeable future, that's not going to change. Our budget shortfall is not going to be fixed overnight. It's not going to be fixed for the next election. And when the new city council comes in, that's not going to happen. So you have to deal and work within the parameters that you have. And that's a budget shortfall. So what you need to do is take what you have and make it work better. And I would like to see the police work with other law enforcement agencies, not just HPD, but you got the Sheriff's Department. And out in the Spring Branch area, you got the various villages out there that have their own police department. And you've got the constables that patrol the area. And one of the drawbacks that these guys, the officers, have to deal with is a non-centralized reporting system. I think if you had a centralized reporting system where all the offense reports for all the different agencies were uniform in their input and the way they look and the way they're put into a computer, you can have one computing system, one database, so all agencies can work on that. And that would make it easier for arresting officers or officers investigating offenses or occurrences in the district to access, say, an HPD to access the Harris County system better, or the Harris County deputies to access the various constables or villages, police departments better. That's one of the things I'd like to see because it'd make it more efficient. Another thing I'd like to see is District A is a huge district. It's very large, and so you've got everything from Shepherd on the east side all the way out to then near Katy on the west side. But in the entire district, you only have two HPD storefronts, one on West 43rd in the Garden Oaks Oak Forest area and one on Long Point in the Spring Branch area. One of the things I'd like to see, and I don't it would cost money. I'm not going to deny that, but I'm hoping it wouldn't cost as much because, you know, in cooperation with some business owners, I think we could get it done, is put a third HPD storefront on Antoine. And that way you can take some of the burden off the 43rd storefront, some burden off the Long Point storefront, and have a continuous police presence on Antoine. And that way there's constant controls on Antoine, and maybe we can work on deterring and preventing some of that crime. If you look at some of the statistics, DeSoto and Antoine is one of the highest crime rates in the entire country, and we don't have a storefront on there. Mind you, some of those apartments and condominiums have been torn down, which is entirely another issue, but they're still there. Some of them are still there, and they need to be torn down because they're just festering. And I think if we put a storefront over there, that would help with some of the crime in the area. You're seeing a lot of uptick in some of the crimes like burglary of a motor vehicle or simple thefts. And I think if we can get a higher police presence, it might deter some of that crime.
Okay. An issue that has recently been raised in the mayoral debate, I observed this at a recent candidate forum, was a suggestion that the city might consider closing down its municipal jail and outsourcing that function to Harris County. I'm curious as to what your opinion is on that, coming from the background of the prosecutor.
Well, the city and the county like to point their fingers at each other and try to push off what they can on each other. Now, to do contract jailing, a lot of states and a lot of cities do it. We have a lot of problems with the Harris County Jail as it is right now. We've got overcrowding. We've got mental health issues in the jail with prisoners that are high mental health risk. And I'm not sure, in theory, this is how I'm going to say, in theory it's a good idea. I don't know if the county is prepared to take over the city jail. We need to make sure that the standards are raised and that the county can meet those standards before we turn over our jails to this county, because we don't want to be facing the same kind of things that the 1201 Baker and 701 San Jacinto are facing right now, because it's just not that we don't need to be in the business of running bad jails if we have to have jails. And I don't think we need to contract them out to somebody who's having issues right now. If we can get those issues resolved, if the county can get that fixed, if the commissioners can look at that and figure out a way to do it, working with Sheriff Garcia, and they make the jails better, I think it might be a good idea. That way we can get out of that business, because it's a cumbersome business, it's an expensive business, and if the county can do it more efficiently and better than the city could, there's no reason not to. But there has to be some work done first.
Okay. Let's talk about the budget, since you've already alluded to it. As you know, the city has passed its budget. There were cuts across the board. As you note, we're likely to have continued fiscal difficulties through at least the next year or so. What's your critique of the council's recently passed budget, and how would you like to see, going forward, council deal with lean times, at least in the near future?
The city budget as passed is a creature of necessity. We are suffering economic hard times, and that's not going to come to an end in the foreseeable future. The city makes most of its money on sales tax, and not just consumer sales tax, but taxes off developers. And that's a big chunk of it, whether it be from new constructions where you have to buy new materials, or when you do build a new building, the city build a new office building, you have to buy the carpet, buy the office furniture, and buy the lighting. All those are taxed with sales tax, and that's where the city gets its money. When building slows down, when development slows down, the city's going to hurt. And so when we're looking at a budget shortfall, there's obviously going to be cuts. So the way to deal with that is to prioritize. And we have some serious issues, not just in District A, but citywide, that have to be dealt with. And we can't wait until the budget is running in a surplus or just in better condition. We have to start addressing those issues now. And doing that means prioritizing our needs. And I'm a fan of libraries and dog parks and hike and bike trails as much as the next person. But, when the CIP money comes into District A, I'm going to be looking to do things with the flooding and drainage issues. And I think the city council across the board should be looking at the necessities right now, because with the new Chapter 42 revisions, we're going to be expanding out into areas. You know, urban areas are going to be expanding. We're going to have some infrastructure issues. We're going to have some density issues. And I think the council needs to work on its budget and make sure that before we start doing things like that, we need to have the infrastructure that will support that kind of growth. And you don't get that infrastructure overnight, and it doesn't come cheaply. And it shouldn't come quickly, because a job done that quickly without the proper funds is going to be a job done poorly. So what we need to do is prioritize our budget, make sure we're funding the necessities, and not just doing constituent-driven special projects. I know that sounds horrible, but we need to make sure we get things done that need to be done first.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Chapter 42 revisions, which you mentioned, because I've been asking everybody about that. What's your take on it?
It's inevitable that the city is going to grow out that way. We're expanding from the 610 to the Beltway, our growth in the urban area. It's inevitable. Houston's a big town. We've always been known for our sprawl, and we're going to move out. But what we have to make sure we take care of is the density issues. If we're going to allow certain areas to become denser in population with these townhomes, which are really popular, and you're putting six or seven townhomes on a lot that used to accommodate one house, you're going to have some infrastructure issues, because now you've got six or seven families using the same underground storm sewage and drainage systems that one family used to use. So we have to make sure that we take care of what goes underground before we do what's above ground. I am worried about certain communities that don't have strong deed restrictions within their own neighborhoods, protecting community identity and neighborhood identity. We've got a lot of neighborhoods outside the loop, and a good portion of District A is actually outside the 610 loop. And I'm afraid that if they're not firmly protected by their own deed restrictions, they might lose their identity, and that might lose a part of the neighborhood's community and sense of identity. And that's one thing I'm very concerned about. But it's inevitable. We have to prevent things like that and gentrification, and make sure that we do it smartly and appropriately.
Okay. I mean, obviously one of the things that Chapter 42 deals with, or at least this revision is going to be dealing with, is transit-oriented corridors and development. Metro is breaking ground on two more of its rail lines that were part of the 2003 referendum. There's still two more to be done.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is supposed to be done in 2012, maybe more like 2013. If you're elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So looking forward, beyond the end of this project for Metro, what do you want to see them do next? What's your vision for what Metro does after this?
Metro right now is on the right track with expanding its light rail. I'm a big fan of light rail. I'm a big fan of heavy rail and public transportation. Anything that we can do to decrease the number of cars on our roadways, to make the city of Houston a greener city, we need to be doing. We're losing businesses because Houston's got dirty air. And so if we can expand our light rail, expand our public transportation to create hubs to where people can actually walk or drive to the light rail, park, and then go on downtown, I think that would be excellent. Metro needs, but once again, we don't want to see what happened in Main Street and downtown. The Metro light rail was the first rail laid down, is down Main Street, and you saw a lot of businesses hurting and closing down and not able to reopen because of the construction. So there has to be a balance in everything, and I do think we need light rail. I think we need the expansion, and I think we need to take it out as far as we can. Create hubs, create park and rides, create more transit routes for the buses and more high occupants vehicle lanes for our buses. However, we need to do it smartly and not at the expense of residents or business owners.
And council has recently passed an ordinance that would restrict signage on businesses in Houston. It's somewhat controversial. Your website talks about beautification issues, so I'd like to know what your opinion is of this particular ordinance.
The ordinance is kind of peculiar. It's only affects signs after a certain date. Anything that goes up after that has to be in compliance with a new law. Anything that is existing already doesn't have to comply, which means the businesses have another few weeks to make their signs big and gaudy and do whatever they want to with them. Whereas any businesses that put up a sign afterwards have to follow the new laws. I don't think that's the smartest way to approach that. Now, I think we have done a good job in decreasing a lot of the billboards in town, a lot of the gaudy signs, the inflatable, you know, attractors to certain businesses. I would be in support of a sign ordinance that made sense, that did limit some of the signage around town, but I think it needs to apply equally and fairly to everyone. It doesn't need to give one business an advantage over another, and I think that's what the sign ordinance does right now.
Okay. What's your assessment of the current council, District A council member, Toni Lawrence, and how would you be like her or not like her?
Toni is a hometown girl. She was, you know, she's been a resident of District A forever. I've grown up in her council district. And so she is in touch with the people to, you know, she listens to them. She's got a great staff. I would be like that in that I would make sure my staff is completely available to the public. The guys down at her office are very good about talking to people, you know, and answering calls and addressing issues. So I would make sure that my staff at council would be very similar in that regard. Where I would be different, I'm running not necessarily for the sake of running. I'm not saying that Tony's doing that or has done that, but it's always been my home, and I'm not looking as a stepping stone. I'm not looking to the future for my career. I'm looking for it as something that I want to take care of our neighborhoods now. I don't want to let other neighborhoods fall to the wayside while we develop another neighborhood and make it smart. I don't want to rush plans through that might be to the detriment of a neighborhood. And I'm referring to the TERS 17 Bunker Hill project that has really wreaked havoc throughout the Spring Branch area, and it's just is the talk, and it might be the cause of a lot of flooding. There's actually a coalition out in Spring Branch right now that's getting together to hire their own hydrologists to see exactly what's going on out there and what needs to be done. And I'd like to get down on the ground a little bit more and talk to the residents in all areas. We've got a wide, wide diversity of residents, everybody from the conservatives to the liberals and everything in between, the whites, the blacks, Hispanics, the Koreans, the Asians, everybody. And I'd like to get out there and talk to everybody to be a representative for everybody. And I don't know, and I want to be very responsive to everybody in District A, and because I've grown up with them. I know them, and I've seen the area develop, and I've seen the area kind of fall apart in some places. And that's what I would do differently, is make sure I pay attention to every portion of the district.
One of the things that would happen during your term in office is city council would be redistricted with two more council seats added. How would you like to see that process go, and you know, how do you want to see it affect District A?
District A is a big, big district. And I'm sure that if when redistricting happens, not if, but when it happens next session, it's going to break up all the districts. Some districts are going to lose some of their areas. And what I would make sure to fight for is that like neighborhood communities are kept together. You don't want to split up certain areas and break them down into areas where a council member is just so stretched to represent the two completely polar opposite types of, you know, neighborhoods that they can't do an effective job. I don't want to see any kind of gerrymandering for gerrymandering's sake. I want to make sure that the districts are drawn smartly, fairly, and in a manner that allows the district council person to actually represent the district and not be stretched so thin on trying to please everybody that they can't do a good job.
We're going to be electing a new mayor this fall. What's your assessment of Mayor White's term in office, and how would you like to see the next mayor be like him or not like him?
Mayor White is a strong businessman. With Edge, he did a fantastic job of developing and running a business, and I think he brought a lot of those strong tools to the city of Houston. He's approached the running of the city like a business. And I think it is that's something that we need to keep doing. Now, of course, we face some economic hard times just like everybody else. And, you know, when economic hard times hit a business bad, things go, you have to start cutting. And, you know, that's what we're at right now. I think the next mayor needs to make sure we look at the numbers, make sure we can fund the projects that we need to be funding. We need to make sure that the next mayor is somebody that knows the function of government, and that's to protect the people and to improve the quality of life in Houston, and make sure that we can get the programs out there that does that. The city of Houston, even though it's the city of Houston, it's a business, and I think if you can run a business effectively, then you're going to have a prosperous city, you're going to have a safe city, and you're going to have a city that's attractive to people to come out and either live in or invest in. And I think that's what the next mayor needs to bring that Mayor White has brought from his business experience.
Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in this election?
Right now, I'm not going to say that. They're all performing very well. They're raising money like crazy. It's very impressive. They all have their strong attributes. And I'm not, you know, right now, I couldn't tell you.
All right. When people come to vote this November and they get to the District A race, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
It's my home. It's always been my home. I've got a vision for the city and a vision for the district that I think is realistic enough and grounded enough with actual programs and ideas that can make District A stronger and make it better. I'm not just trying to run in the western part of the district or the eastern part of the district. I'm trying to reach out to everybody, and it's something that I would continue on throughout my term in council. I want to make sure that we represent all interests in District A, and that's something that I feel like I can do. I feel like I can bring a strong voice to council. I can effectively fight for our fair portion of the CIP, then apply that money in the district in a smart and effective way. And I've got a strong network throughout the district because I've born and raised there and live there now. Spending 30 years in the district, you create some ties and you create some strong neighbors and some good friends. And I think I can bring all that to District A, and I think that's what needs to be brought to District A.
All right. Jeff Downer, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Charles. I appreciate it.